Good evening. Welcome to the Serpent Cast. I am Annabelle Gatt.
I'm Sophie St. Thomas.
And today we are here with Michael Cardenas. Michael Cardenas is the head brujo over at Old Ways and Old Ways Apothecary. He offers magical services and witch-made ritual products. He's an initiated witch, a trained clairvoyant medium with a background in education in several different forms of witchcraft, spiritual healing, and folk magic. And he has blessed us with his presence here at the Serpent Cast. Thank you so much for joining us.
He has the best tweets, the most magical, wise tweets.
Yes.
I mean, not to reduce you to your tweets, but but they make me smile while I'm working away, and then I peek and see an Old Ways tweet.
I appreciate it. Your podcast is actually my favorite.
Thank you. It's been
the few episodes that you've had, it's been my favorite with the topics that you've been covering, and I feel like it's really dynamic, and I'm honored as well.
Oh my God, thank
you
so much.
You're gonna make us cry.
Yeah,
we're both a little emotional over here.
Yeah,
today.
We're really emotional today.
Yeah. It's a new moon, isn't it? Yeah.
Exactly.
So you probably know the first question, but what is your sign and what is your Hogwarts house?
Oh, I'm a Taurus.
Yeah, we only have Tauruses on the show.
Really?
Yeah.
It's kind of been that way, yeah.
I'm a Taurus. My moon is in Scorpio.
Ooh.
I believe my rising is in Scorpio, but I told Annabelle that I've never had my chart professionally read, so I don't know the details.
Yeah, we're going to have to do that soon.
Yeah, we're going to find you your rising.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be cool. But that's the extent of it. My house is Slytherin all the way.
Fuck yeah.
Us too.
I don't know. It's something about the... I feel like they would be really well-dressed in their ceremonies, and there
totally.
Wouldn't be...
Oh, yeah.
Granola totally. Involved.
I just got a pet snake. So I feel like really super official Slytherin.
Yeah.
You are. It is official now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even though she's going to live to be 30, so I'm going to have her when I'm 60.
It's a commitment.
It's a big commitment.
It is.
Yeah.
So, Michael, I have a question for you. I want to know either the first love spell you ever did or the first love spell you did that really left an impression on you that magic is fucking real. If you care to share it with us.
Yeah, absolutely. My entire magical journey really started from me helping out my mom.
Oh, my mom's
first client. I was trying to get... She was in a really bad marriage.
Aww.
And I was trying to get her to snap out of it. I was actually trying to get her out of love. So I was trying to find her somewhere else. There was a lot of, like... There was a lot of dark things happening. And my saving grace was always magic. It was something that I could be, like, proactive about and a way to empower kind of everyone involved. And I had a little book that every witch from... I mean, if you're like an 80s baby from, like, 1983 to 1989 or whatever, you probably read Teen Witch from Silver Ravenwolf.
Yeah.
And, you know, witches everywhere, they're going to be, like... They talk so much shit about her because they say that she's too light or like whatever she is. But she was teaching us some crazy shit in that book. She was teaching you how to hide people's tongues. She was teaching you how to bury an enemy. She was teaching you how to free somebody. She was teaching a bunch of stuff. And I got a spell from that book. I was like 10 or something like that. And the purpose was I was trying to find my mom's, like, perfect mate. And that was the first spell I did. And they did end up separating relatively soon after that. And she's currently with the man that she's with now. So that was, like, kind of the
first
thing that I did. And they say that, you know, you get really lucky or whatever. And so I didn't think anything of it. But, yeah, that was the first spell that I cast. And it was really to protect my mom from herself.
You're a good son.
You're a very good son.
Yeah.
Thank you. And I've also noticed, like, parallels in my current work that I do. I really try to help people in their relationships. It's really become that. Sometimes both people are involved in the gig. Both are very conscious of what's going on. And I try to kind of, like, because I have a background as a healer, I try to mend those differences and things like that. So, yeah.
So
that's how we approach it.
Do magical couple counseling, basically, as well.
It's energetic couples counseling sometimes. Yeah. Because sometimes couples will, basically from my experience, I've noticed that they try everything. They try absolutely everything. And I think that it's just historically been the work of the witch is people come to us who have, they kind of have no other, they have no other option available. It's always a last resort. And then they go, you know, why didn't I do this in the first place? Yeah, it's really been a journey with couples. This is what it's become.
Can I ask you more of a question about love and relationships? That's a little bit sad. I'm a sex writer, so I write and think about relationships a lot, both professionally and personally, like everyone else. And I'm always curious about the line between things being hard, because relationships and love is hard, and just like throwing up your hands and being like, this is hard, I'm done, I don't feel like doing the work, bye. Mm-hmm. And the other question is, I feel like another trap you can get into is you see people in a relationship that just obviously isn't working, but they're just trying. They're just trying to like force two pieces of a puzzle that don't fit and won't let it go. So how do you know when to stop trying?
I mean, I leave it in the hands of the spirits. So when someone comes to me, and they want a love spell. They want to get, the most common is that people want to get back together. Mm-hmm. They broke up or they're experiencing some kind of difficulty. The first thing I do, and I say this online too, is that I absolutely can't prescribe you anything unless I give you a consultation. And the way that I learned how to do consultations was to ask the spirits directly. I'll get intuitive hits while I'm speaking to the person or while I'm reading their email. And I'll kind of go to my, you know, my apothecary of formulas, as I like to refer to them. And I mean, I could give you something right off the bat, but what I do is I use coconut shells. They're called chamalangos. I was in my tradition that I was trained in. And I ask the spirit, whichever spirit I think that is going to be best for the work. And I ask them if they're down to work on this for me. I ask them if this is going to be the best thing for this couple. I ask them if, you know, magic is what is needed here. And I'll tell you yes or no. I turn down people every single day, and sometimes it goes really well and sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah.
Sometimes people take it really personally, but I'll let you know. I'll let you know if it's something that can be helped or not. I don't want to waste my time or yours. And and I don't leave people high and dry. I'll give them options. You know, I'm like, okay, well, since this isn't really going to be the best thing for you, and the spirits are even saying this isn't going to be the best thing for you, and I don't recommend magic for you, what I can do is help you to detach. I can, you know, do my best to cut cords to whatever the both of you are connected to energetically right now. Maybe we could do a cord cutting for the both of you. You could separate ways, and maybe you'll come back in that way. Or maybe it's just time for you to cut it off completely. It depends on what the person's comfortable with at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And just cut communication, and they tell me to fuck off.
Speaking of cutting cords, this summer we have eclipses, which God. I think is a fantastic time to do any kind of spiritual work around getting a fresh start, and especially like cutting those old energetic cords. So I was wondering, Michael, if you had any advice for like a newbie witch at home who like, inexperienced, or even the experienced witch, any advice you might have for people who want a do-it-yourself way to cut cords? That's that's my question number one. And question number two, I'm also curious to know what a session with you looks like when you're helping someone cut cords.
First of all, I'll tell you a little bit about what it's like to cut cords with me. I do what's called a love uncrossing, which I had never seen before or read about before. And really, really early on, when I started helping people professionally, was like in 2004 or something like that. That's when it really became established. But I kind of had to act intuitively, because there I was kind of going off of formulas at first. I was going off of whatever I learned in the coven I was in at the time. And I was learning from a spiritual teacher and using kind of those techniques. So over the years, I've developed what has now become the love uncrossing, and it really has to do with cord cutting. Usually, it's distant work. you know, someone will kind of let me know what their situation is, and they'll tell me how long they've been in a negative cycle or what they perceive to be a negative cycle. I'll ask them, you know, about their relationship history. I'll ask them about traumas that might have occurred. We do a full consultation, usually over the phone, and if it's through email, it's through expensive email. And what I do is I basically treat, I like to work with bigger people a lot, and I'll basically treat them as though the candles are the person, and energetically work on them that way. I do a full on, I try to track the energies, I try to track the trauma. I track any tears, rips, any cords, that sort of thing within the aura, and we energetically address it. And then after that process, I go in with the candle magic aspect of it, which I think really helps to integrate and helps to purify through way of the element of fire. And I'll also give people a customized recipe or formula of a bath that they can make themselves just from common things from the grocery store. And that is actually what I would recommend to people wanting to do the DIY. I try to give people accessible things to do, and I've written about it a lot, and I try to offer as much as possible on Instagram. And basically, I would recommend to anyone that's trying to cut cords, first of all, you have to take inventory of what you're cutting cords to. I do this a lot. I recommend the list of 7 and 9. The list of 9, you start off with the list of 9. List of 9 are 9 things that you fear about love. First things that come to mind, write down the first 9 things. It doesn't have to be legible. It doesn't have to make sense. It's get it out. It's like automatic writing. And you're going to burn that list of 9 and flush the ashes down the toilet, what I always tell people to do. It's because it's easy and people don't have oak trees accessible to them always. We live in the city.
That is such a New York City witch problem.
Yeah, and also, the toilet is one of my favorite magical tools.
Really?
Yeah, it's flush that one. Shit away.
Oh, I didn't know that.
One. Yes.
I used to live in a, I used to live in a 10-floor walk-up, but I lived on a, on a 6th floor or something like that, and it was still really exhausting. But I couldn't, like, you know, wash my floors and then take it down to the crossroads and leap up or flush that shit down the toilet. So
it's been a good... Can I shit on it first? Sorry.
Yeah. So basically, so then you're going to get rid of that list, right? That represents all of your fears, all of your hangups, possibly, and maybe traumas that are going to come up. Then once that's out of the way, then you want to do the bath. So the bath that I'm going to recommend is you're going to this is the easiest way. You're going to fill up the bathtub, and I'll give you a way to do it if you don't have a bathtub, because that's another thing that comes up a lot. So you're going to fill up a tub with relatively cool water, especially since it's summertime. This is a really excellent one. Cool water helps to break negativity. It also helps to reinvigorate the energetic system, and it helps your aura to, like, expand in a healthy way. It's really, really beneficial to use cold water energetically, especially with something like this, because we consider traumas and, like, say you had a hex on you or something like that, we consider that to be hot energy, and we remedy that with a cool energy. It's very, you know, in folk magic, it's like attracts like, and sometimes it's like attracts the opposite. So definitely you're going to get cool water. You're going to slice up 3 lemons, fresh lemons. That's really important that they're fresh. And you're going to add a cup of white vinegar. Doesn't smell the best, but the purpose behind it is that it helps to cut through negativity. The lemons especially, it's a big piece of any kind of, like, cord cutting formula. The citrus in it, it just helps to raise the vibration. It helps to cut cords to negativity and so on and so forth. You're also going to add a cup of sea salt to that. And that is basically a clear-cut bath. That's what it'd be called. That's what the formula is called. That's a clear-cut bath. And you use that anytime you need to deal with these types of issues. I recommend doing it on a Monday, Wednesday, Friday. If you're going to start it tonight on the new moon, you do it Wednesday, Friday, Monday. Consistency is definitely key in magic. And if you're cutting cords to something difficult, you're going to need to repeat it. And you might need to repeat it after that. So And that's when your intuition comes into place. So don't message me. don't ask me how many times you need to do the bath unless you want a consultation. But because I will get messages for sure. So that's the way you do the bath. If you don't have a bathtub, omit the sea salt and put everything in a large bowl. Uh-huh. Put the fresh lemons, put the vinegar, put the cool water. Take your regular shower. After you're done with your regular shower, you're going to pour it from your neck down. And you're not going to rinse it off. I know it's vinegar, but it'll go away eventually. You have to be committed to the process. And it should be good. Then after that, you're going to make a list of 7 things that you want to draw into your life. 7 things you want to manifest. Mm-hmm. And that is a full cord-cutting ritual.
Amazing. Right? So, I mean, I don't know if... I think most people agree with this. It's really hard to pull in new love if you're still carrying all of the old stuff with you.
One of the most common things that happens when someone comes to me and they want new love, and we go over like their history, and we go over like we call it the love drought that they might have been going through, or like whatever. I tell them that they have to cleanse first. They either want to go through a process with me, or they can go through it with themselves, and I'll give them the tools to do it, or I'll give them the instructions on how to do it. But it's the most important thing. It's also important when you're trying to manifest anything, really. You have to clear you have to cleanse your palate. You have to really clear the roads. You have to clear the way. You have to open everything up. You have to make sure there's no obstructions. Otherwise, you're always going to experience difficulties.
I mean, also, it's like, both from a magical and from like a sex relationship educator perspective, if you don't address your trauma and your wounds from your past relationship, you're going to carry it into your next relationship, and you're going to end up sabotaging yourself. I'm an assault victim, and I've been in an abusive relationship. So like the second a male voice like hits a slightly higher octave that I might perceive as yelling, like I can't function, basically.
Yeah.
And obviously I shouldn't let people yell at me, but I know that that is work I need to do, because if I'm unable to have confrontations, which are natural in any relationship because of past trauma, that's gonna fuck up my current relationship. So I guess the lesson here is both magically and just like psychologically, and not that the
and practically
and practically not and all those things are intertwined. You do have to remember the importance of cutting these cords and healing old wounds to have new, good, healthy love and relationships.
Totally. Completely off topic, but one of the questions I've just been curious is if you have a favorite witch movie.
Oh, that's hard.
Mine is Practical Magic.
I was going to say Practical Magic.
I don't know. That's really hard, because I've even looked to like some of the more off-brand 1970s.
Yeah, tell us about it. We want to know.
Very things as well. Actually, I'll have to say my favorite witch movie is it's called the Full Moon of the Virgins, and it's like from 1970. And it has vampires and witches in it. It's really nice. Kitsch, but really glamorous and cool. The main storyline is this witch who is luring all these like vampires to her for basically an orgy. And it's like, it's really cool. And I don't know. I just love watching it. I could watch it with the sound off visually. And then I think that's my favorite. I think everybody says that The Craft is their favorite because it was so influential. And yeah. I think it like brought something out of people, but I've grown kind of numb to it.
Yeah. I love The Craft.
I love The Craft too. I think there was like a collective realization though, that the ending was kind of bullshit. At least, I don't know, Nancy, I feel like a cliche now being like, Nancy should have been locked up. But like, you know, everyone loved The Craft, and then everyone kind of was like,
I mean, I love The Craft, but I just love other movies more. Mm-hmm. And there's, you know, there's a sap in me that really loves Practical Magic. And this mm-hmm. isn't a witch, you know, movie. It's a vampire show, but I love True Blood.
True Blood's so I mean,
yeah. That's a huge magical inspiration for me.
I was big about that show.
Yeah. I thought it was really inspiring.
You know what? Can I say something, though? Yeah. You know what I have? realization recently about the craft, because we had a friend who took us to like a rooftop cinema, and we went to go see the craft on like a rooftop, and it was really cool, and it was like a really gloomy day, but because I've seen it so many times, I started to like overanalyze it. Uh-huh. And I realized the reason why at the end Nancy was bound up is because right before Sarah like kicked her ass into the fucking the mirror or whatever, she was binding her.
Yeah,
she was like, I bind you from doing any harm, blah blah blah. And she was bound, and so I was like, oh, so that's why. Like 20 years later, I was like, oh, so.
Literal. I mean, sometimes I think all witches can relate to this. Sometimes I think magic gets so like fucking literal, it's like almost comical.
Yeah,
it's very comical.
Yeah,
I'm glad we're talking about binding though, because that's something I also wanted to ask you. Binding spells, do we want to be, I mean, there's different schools of thought about binding spells, but one of them is that when you bind someone, you're also binding their energy to yours, so you have to think about it. Do you agree with this? What is your take on binding spells?
All right. So, I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that at all. I feel like if you're doing a binding spell and you're binding their energy to you, then you don't have the skills to be doing a binding spell.
Mm-hmm.
You have to approach things from an energetic perspective, and you have to be really, really good with your energetic boundaries and your psychic protection if you're going to go on and do something like that.
Yeah.
I don't recommend it to newbies, and I don't even recommend it to people who have been doing it for 10 years. Mm-hmm. You really got to do it. And you have to be really confident about it, and you need to be able to have a really clear perception, almost a visceral perception of the energy that you're working with. I don't do it very often. I do it. Sometimes it's very necessary. But the whole point of it is to keep the other person's energy to them.
Mm-hmm.
I do this a lot when, you know, something like 90% of the people I work with are female identifying. And mm-hmm. whenever we have to do a binding, it has to do with a male energy being extremely intrusive on some level.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and you know, we try the police, we try all the avenues, and then that's when I come in, and I take that really personally because I grew up in an abusive environment, so I bind the motherfucker up. Yeah. You know, but I don't bind him to me.
Yeah.
I keep him exactly where I need him to be. So I guess the short answer to that is that if you are binding the person to your energy, then you need to draw back. You need to find a different avenue, a different way to address that particular situation, because you shouldn't have anything to do with their energy after that.
Yeah. Beautifully put.
That is beautifully put.
Yeah.
God, protection and psychic protection. I need to be better at that.
It's really, really, really important. Like, yeah. for newbie witches, I get, like, well, talking about Twitter, I don't think that it's reductive to be talking about tweets or anything like that, because that's how we communicate now. You
uh-huh.
know, right?
Mm-hmm.
We communicate visually through Instagram. We communicate verbally through Twitter. Whatever. It is what it is. And one of the biggest things I get are always direct messages, even though I hate them. I answer them anyway. It's always like, what do you recommend to newbie witches? And I'm like, learn psychic protection.
Yes.
Learn psychic protection. Learn spiritual cleansing. Those are the most... I mean, you could do everything with that.
Yeah.
If you have any type of difficulty, like any type of mundane difficulty, it could usually be remedied through spiritual cleansing. A good new kind of acquaintance that I've made, and someone that I've been admiring for a really, really long time, is an author named Christopher Penzack, and he wrote a book called The Witch's Shield, and I recommend it to any and everyone, witch, new age, identifying, whoever you are. If you want to learn your psychic protection and spiritual cleansing, that book is incredible. I recommend it fully. And it comes with a CD.
Oh, amazing. So I will put that in the show notes for everyone to check out.
Okay, so I am curious. We talked about cord cutting.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say it's a situation where the deities and the people involved have suggested that healing is possible. What would you suggest for some basic love healing work?
For someone to do by themselves?
Or if they were to...
I guess that's another interesting question. Like, how should you make your partner aware of the love healing work you're doing, or do it by yourself or with them?
Mm-hmm. Healing work, yes, if they're open to it. If they're not open to it, you might create more problems.
Yeah.
So I think that this kind of really gets into which... What do you call it? Which, not boundaries, but, well, I'll say this. I think that a lot of male identifying people are not really ready for the healing game. That's a general like statement, but from my personal experience over the course of, you know, the time that I've worked, they're not open to it. Even in my relationships where I've been with someone who identified as a witch or identified as a shaman, I've been with witches, I've been with shaman, I've been with, you know, galactic healers from the Pleiadian galaxies and shit, and they're still not like something about it, it's not quite there yet. So I like to work in secrecy. I think that if you work in secrecy, I think that you have consent by the person being in the relationship with you. I think that we do it mentally all the time. Yeah, I think we go, yeah. Well, I wish he would do this. I wish he would love me more. I wish that he would be more communicative. You talk about it with your friends. I wish, you know, all this, that's magic. You're, whether you are acknowledging it or not, you're asserting your will against another person.
Mm-hmm.
In this form, I believe that I think that you're putting it into a ritualized form. I think it makes it a little more sacred, a little more focused, and you don't channel, hopefully, you don't channel the anger that comes with it sometimes as well. It's a big topic. It's a really big topic. It's hard to, like, to condense it down into something just because there's a lot to be said about it. But I think, in general, if the person is down and you feel like they'll be down for the healing process, absolutely include them. And I include, you know, I have couples coming to me all the time, like I said, and they're like, you know, we've been trying, we really want to make this as effective as possible for us. What do you recommend? And they come to me as a couple. And then other times it's, you know, someone who recognizes a darkness, or they recognize like a destructive behavior in their partner and they don't know how to help them. They've tried, you know, like I said before, they've tried everything. They're going to therapy. They're going to yoga together. They're, you know, they're doing talk therapy. They go play with puppies, like whatever it is. And, you know, it's like nothing's helping.
Yeah.
So I think that the person has every single right to address the situation energetically. And I have a really good success rate. It's just, that's in my experience, I've had a really good success rate with people just being able to move on in a healthy direction. It takes a lot of patience and, you know, a lot of like faith kind of in the process. I hate to use the word faith, but it does. It takes like dedication and faith in the process, but I've seen it work. And does that answer your question?
It does.
Yes.
It okay. Absolutely does.
I have a question.
Yes.
So this summer we have a Mars retrograde taking place in Aquarius. It's also going to dip back into Capricorn. But, you know, Mars is the penetrative force. It is the go-getter. It's our energy. And when Mars is retrograde, the energy is very limp. So I'm wondering if you have any advice for us on how to keep things hard.
Damn.
During Mars retrograde, either magically or if you have any practical advice.
There's a few things that you could do. That's another thing that's happened, like this year especially, I really identify as being someone who's, I'm a very sexual person, so sex is really, really important to me.
Yeah.
I think that I'm just very passionate. I'm a Taurus as it is, you know, and I'm just like really passionate. So the fire is really, really important to me. So for me, when things are not like moving in that general direction, I go to my go-tos are using like color therapy. Mm. I like to create an environment that is susceptible to sexual energy. I ought to admit, you know, the cliche is to go to red, but that's the one that that works the best for me. Reds and oranges, occasionally blues. If you are, basically, if you can't get it up, you need the color blue.
Interesting.
Wait, does Viagra know that? Because they made their pills blue.
Huh.
They probably do.
Yeah.
They do. There are no coincidences, and you know, major companies know what's up, and they hire witches and consultants from the occult all the time. And it probably came from whoever couldn't get it up psychic. I'm just projecting there. But so if you can't get it up, the color blue, it helps to subside any anxieties. It helps to cool any anger that you might be experiencing, because Mars will bring up, you know, anger from the past.
Mm-hmm. So the other thing that we have happening after the Mars retrograde this fall, we're going to have a Venus retrograde. So I was wondering if you have any advice for people at home on how to feel more Venusian or beautiful, or how to deal with feeling like the Venusian energies are wilting this autumn.
I mean, that really has to do, I mean, it comes right back down to self-love. Aww. You have to up your self-love game. And I know that that's something that's said like all the time now. It's because it's really important. There's a lot of people that are not feeling good. And there's a lot of people that don't know how to deal with the changing energy on the planet, or the terrible things that are happening on the planet. It really helps. It really hurts people's self-esteem. It's really hard to feel sexy or glamorous in a world where some of these things are happening right now. So it really goes back to, and you have to check in with yourself every single day, and you have to tell yourself, I love you. And you have to tell you have to say, I love myself. I love myself. These are the things that I really love. One thing that I would recommend, like an exercise, would be to do some mirror magic.
Mm.
You get yourself like a mirror from Amazon, or I personally like working with antique mirrors. I know a lot of people are scared of the energy, but all you got to do is soak it in vinegar and water, and you'll be fine. Soak it in vinegar and water overnight. You'll be completely fine. All that energy will be off of it. Trust me, I do it all the time. But you're going to get a mirror, and what you want to do is you want to write down, again, seven things. But this time you're going to write down seven things that you really, really love about yourself.
Mm-hmm. That's so important.
I mean, one of my favorite things is that I surprise, like, unknowingly, is I surprise myself with certain things. So I'll be like, oh, I love sparkling water. So I'll be like, oh, I got myself a bottle of sparkling water. Thank you. You know, that sort of thing. So anything like that, or I'll go on a complete splurge at Ole Hendrickson and buy myself a bunch of skincare. It really depends on like the type of mood that I'm in. But you want to write those sort of things down. I appreciate the fact that I treat myself. I appreciate the fact that I don't take anybody's shit. I appreciate the fact that I know myself well enough to ... You know.
Yeah.
Seven things. And so anyways, you'll write these things down, and you'll look into the mirror every single day, hopefully. And you'll name off those things, boom, 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 boom. This can also be done in the bathroom mirror, but I like designating tools. So that's just my personal spin on it. Mm-hmm.
So are you teaching anytime soon?
I am, actually. This summer and moving into the autumn as well, I'll be going to a few different places around the country to teach. I'll be in San Francisco in October. I'll be in Colorado in September. I'll be in New Orleans in August. I'm trying to book more. We're in the process of booking more dates right now, but what I want to do is I want to start giving people tools on how to help themselves. So I'll be teaching candle magic. I'll be teaching about spiritual baths and spiritual cleansing. I'll be teaching about psychic protection. I'll be teaching about love magic, pretty much everything that we've gone over in this interview. And I'm really, really looking forward to it. It'll be like interactive, like series of different types of magic you can do for yourself.
Amazing. And if people want to follow you, they can follow you on Twitter, on Instagram. I'm sure on Facebook too, all at Old Ways, right?
Yeah, it's all on Old Ways. I never go on Facebook. I'm terrible. I don't connect with
it's
it.
It's terrible for you. Yeah.
I'm always on Instagram. Instagram's my jam. And occasionally on Twitter, but you can definitely find me on Instagram. That's my main spot.
Awesome. Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. And your website is?
www.oldways.net.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
For Skyping in with us.
Thank you so much for listening, everyone. If you want to support us, go over to www.patreon.com/theserpentcast, and you can officially become a serpent slut by supporting us. You can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter at @theserpentcast, and you can follow Sophie St. Thomas on Instagram and Twitter at @thebowiecat, and you can follow Annabelle on Twitter at @AnnabelleGatt_, or on Instagram at @AnnabelleGatt.